Danny J.
And I'm Jill Coleman.
Welcome to the Best Life Podcast.
Here we talk about everything from success, money, relationships and entrepreneurship, to productivity, honest communication, positive psychology, and how to cultivate an abundance mindset.
Make money, travel the world, deepen your relationships, live full out.
This is the Best Life.
It and I got it today. I got the email.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Nice.
Now, I saw, though, in your story that it took you 34 minutes, and I was like, fuck that. I'm not going
to. It did take me. But I did rest quite a bit. I went, like, pretty heavy, and I kind of, like, I took my time.
I was like, if this took Jill 34 minutes, I'm skipping this one.
Believe me, I think most people probably didn't go super heavy. It was the first one, and I think, like, you know, people don't really know how to choose heavy weights, which is fine, but I think probably a lot of people went faster. But yeah, so we got in the DMs, we got someone asking a question about exercise.
Yeah, so I guess I don't necessarily have to read it straight up, but it was basically, this is from Chris Cub, Fun Over 60.
Hey, Chris.
And Chris always gives us some great stuff, but she basically said, as we age, our workouts are going to shift. How do we navigate that without feeling like we're doing less than we should? Is it okay to do different types of workouts as we get older and not feel like we're not doing enough, but actually just owning that we're doing what serves us best, decreasing the chance of injury and overuse and putting stress on our body, creating more hormonal imbalance? And this is super timely, of course, because of your lean building, but also just it's good in general. I just was on Kim's podcast. We had her on the show. You interviewed Kim, actually.
Shaper. Yeah. Kim Shaper. Yep.
And I was on Kim's podcast and we were kind of talking about this just last week on, you know, how I've adapted workouts going through adrenal fatigue and then as I've gotten older. And I think this is really, really important because I think you and I and two of our friends just went snowboarding 2 weeks ago and we're all in our 40s. And I was just thinking about how snowboarding, I was definitely a lot more cautious and I'm like way more aware of getting injured at this age than in my 20s. Like I would have just gone a lot faster, been a lot less cautious, just been like, fuck it. I'm going to just go as fast as I can. If I fall, I fall. And now I'm like, yeah, we need to be a little more careful. Falling is not the same now. And so I think the same is with workouts. We have to do things a little different and we need to be okay with that.
You know, I have an experience. I feel the same way about snowboarding, by the way, honestly, because I don't feel like I'm in control of it sometimes, right? Like I'm going down the mountain and like you would just like literally catch an edge and just go. So as good as you are, actually, it was funny several years ago. It's not funny, but it's ironic. But several years ago, I went snowboarding with like a group of folks and one of the guys who was with us competes as a snowboarder. Like that's how good he is. He's like, he competes like, I don't know, professionally, semi-pro, whatever. And the first run of the day, we just going down, just super chill, caught an edge, broke his collarbone. Ugh. This is someone who like competes in snowboarding, right? So it's like, it could be just that random. So I agree with you about that. I haven't pulled back at least on like heavy weights in terms of like injuries, like back stuff, knee stuff. And I do want to validate that for a lot of folks, like they do have bad backs and they have bad knees and they have, you know, aches and pains and things like that. And I think we're starting to notice a lot more of that in our 40s. I always believe that oftentimes that stuff can be helped by training with weights. So yeah, I don't want to push through like massive pain and like even like worse than an injury. But is it an injury or is it just arthritis? Is it just a little bit of an ache and pain? Is it that you just need a little bit more like lubricant in your joints? Like what is it exactly, right? But I have changed. I'd be interested in your take on this. I have changed the, I don't even say intensity because intensity implies like you're not working hard, but I've changed the mode of exercise. So for example, in like our 20s, I know for you and I as competitors, we did a lot of cardio, like a lot of steady state cardio. Shit, I'd like watch whole TV shows on the elliptical, like read whole magazines. So it was a lot of cardio. It was just about like burn as many calories as possible, all that kind of stuff. Then, you know, I know you went through like a very you know, kind of long journey with adrenal fatigue and thyroid stuff and whatever. And you kind of had to rest at that point. You kind of had to. And for me, I just got to the point where I was like, this is unsustainable. I hate this. I'm waking up crying every morning because I'm going to make myself do 2 hours of cardio. I actually went to Europe for 9 weeks on vacation. And for me, that was sort of like the thing I needed to just reset and be like, okay, I can still not do a ton of cardio and still be able to fit in my clothes. That was kind of like the you know, what's it called? The revelation I had. So when I came back from that trip, I never picked up the cardio again. And I still like to do short cardio, 5, 10, 15 minutes, maybe max, but more like interval training, stuff like that. So, but then like, I know at one point you were doing CrossFit. I did CrossFit for a long time. I love Metcons. A lot of my old workouts were like more Metcon based. And I'm sort of getting to the point now where I'm just way more cognizant of the stuff you were talking about, like adrenals and hormone shifts and all of these kind of things that we can't have this like pedal to the metal cardio, Metcon, HIIT training, hours. Someone told me they did an hour of HIIT and I'm like, how is that possible? How could you do intervals for an hour? Like that's not even possible. You're not. So, but I will say the thing that I've always done and I have continued to do more into my 40s is heavyweight training, but slow, methodical heavyweight training. Like half the time I don't even sweat at the gym. But it's like I get to the point of like failure or near failure because for me, I know that unlocks some of my anabolic hormones, some of my anti-aging hormones like HGH and testosterone and stuff like that. I have better insulin sensitivity, all of the things that, you know, can potentially change as you get older. So for me, I've definitely changed. I'm kind of now not really in the middle with lots of cardio and lots of Metcons and HIIT and workouts and some of these like what are those classes called? Like F45, Orange Theory, right? Some of those. Now I'm basically doing like slow heavyweight training and then a lot of recovery stuff, like leisure walking, a lot of sleeping, a lot of like sort of things for recovery. So
no, that's the same. And it's funny because you said not intensity, because that was the word I was coming up with too, but not necessarily. But it's like these less high powered, high like
sweaty, jumpy, like breathless.
Yes, like cardio, just pretty much out. I'm not doing cardio for, and if I do cardio, like I'll go do the step mill for 20 minutes, but it's like on level four. Like it's just a, I'm not like super out of breath. I'm just kind of moving, getting my body moving and like warming up basically and not getting crazy out of breath. And even things like burpees or where I'm like just doing a lot of jumping and pounding on my wrists or something like that, I'm like doing a lot less of that. It's just like you said, a lot more just weights, slow, methodical, concentrating more on the movement and then just like getting out of there. So I think part of, you know, what Chris said was like allowing yourself to have that difference and the change. I think it's easy to do when it feels good and your body is like maintaining. It's hard to do that if you feel like somehow you're gaining weight or you're losing muscle or something, and then you feel like you're doing something wrong. And I want to just encourage you to pay attention. Is your training causing you to change your body shift, or could it be hormonal stuff, or could it be your diet and sleep and recovery? Because for me, I've noticed a difference. If I'm not sleeping and if I'm not recovering, that is when my cortisol spikes. That is when I start gaining weight. And I only got this kind of revelation going through adrenal fatigue and recognizing like what would happen was I'd take all this rest and I think I was feeling better. And then I'd go back to the gym and try to go exactly what I was doing hardcore. And then like the next day, the scale would be up 2 or 3 pounds. And I'm like, damn it, I can't work out like this anymore. And it was just this, it was my body telling me like, fuck off, this is too intense. And obviously that wasn't like fat weight gain overnight, just doing a workout, but it was inflammation. And it was my body's way of being like, no, this isn't how you're going to do it anymore. So for me, it was a lot of trial and error and realizing that I just couldn't go back to the old way. If I wanted to maintain a physique that felt good and if I wanted to be able to like walk the next day and feel okay. And I think it's okay to shift that. And also, I just feel like as we age, we don't have as much time. Like I don't have time to do 2 hours of cardio anymore. Yeah. I don't know how I had that time when I was younger either, to be honest, but I ain't got time mentally for it, let alone just actually like wanting to. So I think it's really okay. And I think it's not even just okay. I think it's optimal. I think it's optimal to prioritize sleep and recovery as you age, to prioritize weightlifting as you age, instead of doing these high intensity, high, even endurance activities. Like I'm not a, like, by all means, if you love endurance running and you're like a long distance runner and you love half marathons and marathons, I personally don't think that's the most effective way to get great body composition. And if you like to do it for your mental health, that's one thing, but it's not necessarily the best for your physical health hormonally.
Oh, totally. No, I agree. It's so funny we're having this conversation right now because right now I'm launching this new, it's a muscle building program for women 35 plus called Lean Building 2.0. So it's gonna be the second version of Lean Building. And part of what we're doing is we're asking people to test out the workouts before we go live at the end of April. And so we have people signed up to be beta testers. And last night, so then the first beta workout went out today. And I was kind of self-conscious. Like last night I was like dreaming about it so much because this workout program, in order to like not only maintain muscle as you get older, but to actually build muscle as a woman in your 40s, 50s, 60s and beyond, you really cannot be draining your adrenals. You really cannot be like pedal to the metal with the cardio because like we naturally lose muscle in our 40s, 50s and 60s, right? So it's like in order to build, you have to go even slower. You have to go even. So the reason why I was self-conscious is because these are not the kind of workouts people are used to from me. And I was kind of like, I wonder what the reception is going to be. I haven't checked out any of the feedback yet, but I'm like, I wonder if people are like, oh, this is boring or this isn't intense enough or whatever. But it's like, I just did the workout earlier today and I was like, shit, that was intense as fuck. Like I went super heavy. I went slow. I went heavy. And it was like, I left the gym like with like a nice pump and I felt really great, but like I was felt fatigued, but I did have self-consciousness. Like, this is not what people are used to from me. They're used to those like Metcons, like fast, like AMRAPs, EMOM, stuff like that. And so I was like, we'll see how this goes. I think for a lot of folks, we use in order to stay motivated to exercise or stay compliant with exercise, we need entertainment. This is why things like F45, F45 has 27 stations at it. And there's no overload. You go through like twice. Like your body doesn't even remember the first station, right? Like you go through all that stuff. And look, to Danny's point, if you love F45 and you're just like, it changed my life, I absolutely love it, I do it for mental health, whatever, great. But let's not pretend that it's going to change how your body looks. You're going to leave, you're going to have hot, sweaty, you're going to spend time with your friends. All of that's valid. But in terms of building a physique and really paying attention to your hormonal situation over 40, it's not the best option, right? It's okay. Like you can do it for other reasons. But if we're trying to build muscle, if we're trying to maintain things like elasticity in our skin integrity, skin tissue, and also as progesterone and estrogen go down, progesterone is historically a cortisol antagonist, which means that this is why young people tend to have a smaller waistline because progesterone, they're high in progesterone. And so as that goes down, this is why women tend to see they're doing all the same stuff and that they're gaining fat in their midsection. And it's mostly because of hormones. You can keep doing all of the same stuff, but your body's going to have a different fast distribution. Doesn't mean anything's wrong. It just means that's the natural way. So when we think about that, you are more stress resistant as you get older. That's why you have to pay attention to your stress. And a lot of people will say, well, I'm not stressed in my head. Like I don't feel stressed. And I'm like, but your body can't differentiate between emotional stress, mental stress, and physiological stress. So if you're not sleeping, if you're not eating enough, if you're doing a ton of long duration exercise, you're not recovering, you're not fueling yourself properly, your body is on physiologically stressed, even though you might not feel it in your head. And so there are ramifications of that. You kind of see your cortisol maybe increase and it doesn't have that sort of progesterone, doesn't give you that sort of protective effect, which means we have to pay attention a lot more to our stress. In our 20s and 30s, we were able to like have 4 hours of sleep, 5 cups of coffee, 2 hours of cardio and be fine and actually lose weight. Now it's not working the same. And that's a lot of women in their 40s and beyond, that's their experience. And if you're not using something like HRT, you're not on hormones, then you're going to have that sort of natural shift. So what can we do to kind of offset that most? And it's probably going to be a little bit less of this volume, like Chris is talking about, all these minutes at the gym and whatever. It's going to be more efficient training. It's going to probably be more heavy weight training, working to failure a little bit more. And on the other side of that, low intensity exercise, like leisure walking, stretching, yin yoga, stuff like that, that really helps your body relax and your adrenals relax.
It's so crazy how my body reacts to stress now just differently. And even emotional stress, this is what's wild, is like I saw you last week and I was just talking to you, just going through some personal stuff. And I felt so exhausted that day, just talking about emotional things, that I was like, okay, I think I slept 9 or 10 hours that night. I was just so beat. And I think that we have to even recognize this. And we've talked about this before, but a lot of us have aging parents, maybe older kids. We're kind of in the sandwich generation. So we've got this inherent just stress around us. And even those emotional things that are going on affect you physically. And this is also affecting your appetite. So sometimes you're high stress and like you're wanting to eat more because that's calming your stress. Some people end up not eating when they're stressed. You can fall on any of these spectrums. But I also want to talk about the bone density benefit. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, mm-hmm. God, it's all of these things in my 20s when I went to school for physical education, and then all of my studies in becoming a personal trainer, talking about osteoporosis and osteopenia and how it's important for weightlifting for women. And all of that was like fantastic. But now I'm getting to this place where I'm like, oh, this is important now, because like when I'm snowboarding down the mountain, I'm thinking, I've never broken a bone. And I'm like, it feels like my bones would break easier today than they would have 20 years ago. Right? Like I just have this gut feeling that my bones could snap a little easier, like they're maybe a little more brittle. And so it's really, really important to keep that bone health as we age. I mean, I think one of the number one causes of death of older people, once they break a hip, it's like they're you're done. And that's your, it's very, very,
I think it's important. A third of folks who break their hip die within a year.
Yeah.
That's really wild.
Super high. So these weight bearing exercises, just like, I mean, and you know, I'm really lately, because I've been so deconditioned, I was thinking about the benefits of just doing something. So literally, like Jeff was doing a challenge this year just to walk or run a mile for 365 days. So this was like a small amount. And some days that's all he'd get in. And that's maybe 5,000 steps a day. But it's like, he's been working so much that that's not. But it's like, what if he didn't do that challenge at all? And was getting like 1,000 steps a day. So right. Even though it's a quote small amount and it's not 10,000 and it's not the most, doing that small thing. And I was thinking about adding this to this the other day. I was like, you know, what if I just did, and I did this during the pandemic, and I'm like, I should bring this back to my own personal practice. If I only did 50 pushups, 50 squats, and 50 sit-ups a day, never went to the gym, but if I just did those minor small things, wouldn't it be better than doing A, nothing, and B, wouldn't I be stronger in my legs, in my core, and in my arms and chest than had I done, you know, not a thing at all, because I was waiting to go to the gym to be perfect.
Right.
And even though it's not weights, still doing body weight. So I think there's something to be said about doing something, doing minimal things, and keeping yourself consistent, doing the least. And of course, we want you to do more, but not beating yourself up for those seasons in life when you're not able to do more. But it's okay to do these small things, because over time, they add up. It's all cumulative, and it's all important that we just stay moving.
It's such a weird, and I totally agree with you, all of these small dial movers are cumulative, right? Like, so to your point, you could be like, well, I need to get to the gym. It needs to be an hour. I need to lift heavy weights. Like, and just have this sort of like perfect agenda, which you either never get to, or it's so intimidating to you that you just end up not doing it because you're just like, it's so big, it's so massive. And I think this is oftentimes what a lot of folks struggle with when they're trying to start a habit. They're just like, it's not good enough, right? Someone could look at your like 50 pushups, 50 sit-ups, 50 squats and go, well, that's not good enough. Why even do that? Yeah. You know? And it's like, well, it all adds up. And so it's hard. It goes back to our episode a couple of weeks ago on the complexity bias, right? It's like, it's too simple. It's too easy. And this kind of goes to what Chris was asking, which is, you know, how are you okay with doing less or doing something different? And I would actually say that doing something different is actually better. Like, so for me, the way that I sort of justify it to myself, not doing a shitload of cardio, not doing like massive Metcons, is I actually know that it's hurting me. In a way, it's like there's this bell-shaped curve of what's actually ideal at what age. So yeah, when you're younger, for sure, go and like do all the high intensity stuff. This is why you see, I mean, look, it's not like you don't see CrossFit athletes that are masters, 40 plus, 50 plus, you see those people, but it's like, not everyone can get away with that level of adrenal burnout, right? And like, that really is, when you think about that, not only do you have the emotional stress of work and jobs and family and, you know, all those and financial stress, but then you're going to add a ton of like undue exercise stress on top of it. Lifting weights is also a stress, but it has a different hormonal profile than all of the Metcons and the HIIT cardio and all that kind of stuff and running around and getting super sweaty. But for so many of us, like I think this is what Chris is maybe talking about, we're used to that feeling. We're used to being there for a certain amount of time. We're used to a certain level of like sweatiness, breathlessness, like pushing ourselves. But what I've sort of come to is that actually is working against me. It's actually, so for me, that's how I sort of, I guess, make it make sense in my own brain is like, actually, that's not even good for me anymore when there are other alternatives. And I'm doing myself a favor by really understanding my hormonal situation 40 plus, which is different than it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And so I don't even know that it's a justification because it's like a consolation. I think it's just a justification in that you have to change the way you're moving. And it sounds like that's what Chris said. It's like, I know what we need to change things as we get older. It doesn't mean that you give up though, right? Like, and so I don't think she's saying that, but I think for a lot of us, it can feel almost like resignation. Like, oh, I guess I'm getting older. And I do believe that that's a cautionary tale. When someone says, well, I got those achy knees, just wait till you're my age. I'm like, dude, I don't want to be like scared of that stuff. I'm going to keep moving as much as I can in the ways that I can for as long as I can. And I'm not saying that someone's lived experience of having achy knees is not true. I'm just saying don't put that shit on other people if that's not their truth. Yeah. And so I just think it can be really dangerous to assume that we are not going to be able to stay active as we get older. And I do believe everyone has the ability to stay active. I think it's just about finding what activity is the best for you.
There's one more thing I want to address here that I didn't really appreciate as much until recently is mobility and stretching. Mm. I used to never stretch before a workout or after. I'm like, it's fine. I was always really flexible. I actually coached gymnastics for years, so I stretched so much. I could still do the splits well into my 20s. And then once I stopped coaching, I stopped stretching. And then probably 2019, I pulled something in my like inner thigh, and that kind of kept me from doing any of it. And now I have more recently started to do some flexibility. In fact, I joined a stretch zone back last fall. I did it for about 6 weeks. Like you go to this place and they stretch you. And I was like, man, my flexibility is atrocious. And it's one of those, if you don't use it, you lose it. And at first, not being flexible is not a big deal, but I started to notice where things that I used to be able to reach or do, it now hurts a little bit to stretch that way. And I'm going, holy shit, I need to like move more. And I saw some like images of fascia that's been stretched and manipulated. And fascia is like the connective tissue that your muscles are held together by. And when it's not like massage, stretched, used, it just becomes stiff and hard, almost like calcification. And I'm going, okay, rigor mortis doesn't really start when you die. It actually just starts as you're alive and you just start getting stiffer and stiffer by not moving your body and using it. And so that's been something really big to me, is trying to put a little bit more emphasis on mobility, stretching, just things that get stiff, you know, from sitting, hip flexors, chest, upper back, things that I don't want to have a hunchback from looking at the phone. And I've noticed my posture's gotten worse. And so I'm like actively going, okay, I need to strengthen my back. I need to stretch my chest. Like, I don't want to be a hunchback, and that stuff starts to happen. And we have to be really mindful about mobility and stretching. And that's definitely something I didn't pay attention to as much, but has been more of a thing since I've been getting older.
For sure. Yeah. I agree. Well, I think this is a really great question, and I'm so glad that you asked it, Chris, because I do think this is some of the changes, and obviously it's super timely for the workout program that I'm doing right now, and also just us being, you know, now mid 40s. And so I appreciate this question, and I also think that a lot of the listeners who maybe started listening to us back in when they were mid 30s and now approaching mid 40s, and things are changing, and I think it's valid to talk about that and talk about how it's changing and also how to quote unquote justify or make ourselves feel okay as we have to change. It doesn't mean that it's worse. It doesn't mean that you're not still strong or tough or energetic or whatever. It just means that you're really just trying to exercise according to what's happening with you hormonally. And I think that is completely justified, and it's definitely a good conversation to have. So it's a good one.
limit. Thanks, y'all. Well, if you'd love to leave us a review, we would appreciate it. If you go to your podcast app, scroll to the bottom, you'll hit 5 stars, and then it will allow you to leave a sentence or two. And we would love that for future listeners and for everybody who's looking for a podcast to listen to. So as always, we appreciate your time and attention, and we'll see you on the next episode.
All right, guys.